Father, we pray for your anointing on us right now. We receive that and thank you for it. I pray for your blessing on me, Lord, to be able to teach with excellence and with accuracy, Father. Father, I would have supernatural recall of your word. Holy Spirit, have your way with me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so last week, two weeks ago we started on this, and the topic is gossip. And I just want to re-emphasize something I said a couple times last week, because I think it's really important for your mind and your hearts to be able to receive this, is what is the purpose of this? Why are we teaching on this? I want to tell you what it is not for, and that's to bring condemnation, guilt or condemnation, all right? Conviction is one thing. Conviction's okay, and it's a good thing. And we want that in our life. If you ever come to a place in your life that you no longer have conviction, that is not a good place to be. That is very, very, very sad place to be. Romans chapter 1 describes that place where God gives people over to the depravity of their mind because they've rejected Him, rejected Him, rejected Him. They reject the conviction that God has placed in us to guide our life. And if we reject it enough and reject it enough and reject it enough, God says He gives them over to depravity. He basically says, all right, you want to go your own way, go your own way. And that is not where you want to be. So if you feel that you've got some conviction going on, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about areas of your life, thank God, literally, for the conviction. Say, hey, the conviction's still there. The Holy Spirit is with me, convicting me. Now, I don't want you to have any fear of what I just said, like, you mean I might lose the Holy Spirit? That's a whole other topic, and I'm not going to get into it too far. Let me just tell you, there's two doctrines, once saved, always saved, and there's those that believe that you lose your salvation every time you sin. One's Calvinism, the other one's Arminianism, at least that's the labels we've put on it. Bottom line is, you're not going to lose your salvation once you've accepted Christ in your life. Now, I'm not saying you can't, but the way you can lose it is so difficult. There's nobody in this room that's done it, right? If you had, you would not be here. So just basically forget about it. Don't worry about losing your salvation. But just be thankful to God. That's, I'm trying to put a two-hour teaching in 2 minutes. Be thankful to God is all I'm trying to say for conviction. You want conviction. What is not from God is condemnation. All right? After Jesus came, He took away all judgment. God's not judging us. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you feel condemnation over this teaching, just know, wait a minute. The Bible says that's not from God. So either I'm putting that on myself or the devil's putting it on me. Either one's not good. And just throw it out. All right? The purpose of teaching on this is to be aware and not ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to know our enemy so that we can thwart off his effect in our life. Paul, one time in talking about unforgiveness, said that I have forgiven this person lest Satan should take advantage of me, for I am not ignorant of his devices. Satan tries to sow unforgiveness into your heart, so that he can then move through you and begin to use you like a puppet against people. That's just one of his tactics. This is another one. This, like I said 2 weeks ago, is, in my opinion, the number one weapon that he uses. Now, gossip is not the only word. I'm just using the word gossip. The Bible uses many words to say the same thing. And, in fact, I think that is my next slide here. Other Bible terms for gossip, and I'm going to say that because as you're reading the Word, I don't want you, as you're getting into the Word, studying the Scriptures, as I know we all do here, these other words are the same thing I'm teaching on, even though I'm not necessarily using them. And those words are slander, speaking evil, perverse mouth, talebearer, sows discord, someone who sows discord. All right, these are different terminologies that the Word of God uses when talking about gossip. It also uses the word gossip. But sometimes it'll say, he who speaks evil of his neighbor is not wise. Things like that. Or it'll say, whatever, slander. He who slanders his neighbor, is a fool. Well, it's talking about, what are you doing when you slander your neighbor? You're talking to somebody else about your neighbor, right? You're gossiping. And you're saying, you know, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And you slander them. That's gossip. So we're going to look at several scriptures today. I'm going to go over some of the ones that we went over 2 weeks ago, just as a reminder. They're very good. Plus, it just saved me time from having to find another 50 scriptures to put up. There's no point. These are sufficient. And then we're going to go into some new ones. So I'm going to go right through the other scriptures we went through 2 weeks ago as a reminder, very quickly. And then we're going to take off from where I left off, again, in the last teaching. First, I'm going to give you a definition. This is my definition of gossip. Based on the Word of God, I think it's a good way to see gossip because it's quite accurate. This is what gossip is, right? Gossip is the act of sowing poisonous seeds into the mind of one against another. The act of sowing poisonous seeds into the minds of one against another. Now, the Word of God literally talks about gossip as sowing seeds. So that's why I'm using that. I'm taking a biblical definition here, sowing seeds. And the Bible says that there are good seeds and there are bad seeds. It also calls them evil seeds. It calls them poisonous seeds. So gossip is exactly that. It's sowing poisonous seeds into the minds of one against another. It is important that we understand that this is a number one tactic of the enemy. We're encouraged in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes, the methods of the devil. We are to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against. Now listen to this wording that it's using here. The wiles, the schemes, the methods, it depends on what version you're reading. The Bible describes Satan in this way. It calls him as cunning. It says he's sly. He's deceptive. Right? Think about these words. Cunning, sly, deceptive. And there's many other words that it uses to describe him. Notice all of them are incognito. Right? When Satan is working through your life, it is not obvious most of the time. It is not obvious at all. This is really important that you get this. Otherwise, you fall into the trap that Satan wants you to fall into, and that is believing it's just you. That he's not even at play here. It's really important you understand he is very deceptive, so you have to be alert. That's why Paul said that he was forgiving this man, and he says to the people that he's writing this letter to, I'm doing this lest Satan take advantage of me, for I am not ignorant of his devices. I know how he works. This unforgiveness that would be in my heart is exactly what Satan wants so that he can use me against these people. So I'm saying all that to say this. You can begin to think, or not begin to think, you probably do think, most people do, that gossip is simply an act of your own flesh. And as I mentioned in the first teaching, there are three ways that we always conduct ourselves. There's only three ways. Your flesh, you're acting out of your flesh, or I'm acting out of my flesh, or we are acting out of the influence of the Holy Spirit, or we're acting out of the influence of satanic or demonic spirits. And it's happening all the time. We are the command center. We're the ones that decide. We're not at the mercy of either one of these influences. We're not at the mercy of God moving through us, meaning we don't have any choice. He's just going to move through us whether we want him to or not. That's not how it works. God is looking for us to open ourselves up to him, to be a willing vessel, and only then will he move through us. Now, the devil is not quite the gentleman that God is, and he will try and shove his stuff down your throat, but still, ultimately, you and I have the decision. It's up to us. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention, according to the scriptures, is that when we gossip about somebody else, we think that it's just an act of the flesh. It's just like me doing it. What I'm trying to tell you is that is not the case. That you literally, and I am literally, giving ourselves over to an act of Satan when we do it. That sounds very strong, but I'm going to show you today. I told you last time I was going to do it today. I'm going to show you from Scripture that that is true. First, I just wanted to say, even if you don't believe that, I'm going to show you what the Word of God says about it so you see how powerful God speaks about this. Why? Because I want us to realize that this is not a small matter. This is huge. I don't believe there is a church in the world that has not suffered the pains of this attack of Satan. This church is not without, is not an exception. You know, let me just meddle here a little bit. There's probably 50 people that are not in this building right now because of this. We've suffered a major setback because of it. Someone got offended, and instead of handling it correctly, they spoke to someone else, who then spoke to someone else, who then spoke to someone else. Slander, 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 slander. And how great a force a little fire kindleth. And it destroyed a beautiful thing that we had here. Now we're rebuilding. This is partly why I'm wanting to bring the teaching right now, to put an end to that. We've got so much we can move into, so much that God has for us. And there, believe me, I would really prefer to teach on a lot of other things. There's a lot of other teachings that I do that I personally am a lot more fired up about. It's the kingdom stuff. It's the stuff where we get to operate in the power of God. I love to teach on that kind of thing, but there really isn't a whole lot of point of going there and starting to teach that, because when we begin to move more in the power of God, it will bring the attention of Satan even more to this place to try and destroy it. So if we are not, if we don't have a solid foundation built and prepared against his attack, we again will succumb to his attack. So it's important first that we prepare the hedges around this garden and we stop letting the little foxes in. Amen? And this is the number one door in which he comes through. I keep pointing back. I don't know if gossip's still up there. Well, you know, gossip. So, that's the intro. So, moving on. Let's go into some of the scriptures. And let's go to number 6, Louis. Let's just read through some scriptures right now. I just want you to pay attention to these on the screen. In fact, I'm just going to get out of the way because I don't want you even paying attention to me. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. This is the Word of God. We shall not do this, he says. You shall, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. Now, every time we gossip, what gossip is a division. That's all Satan's trying to do, bring division. So I want you to even notice some of these words. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against. That's what gossip is, taking a stand against your neighbor. Let's go to the next one. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. How many here want to be considered a fool in the eyes of God? All right, well then this is what you cannot do. You cannot slander or you will be a fool in the eyes of God. Next. A talebearer reveals secrets. Remember I mentioned this last time. God honors privacy. Just because we do something wrong doesn't mean everyone needs to know about it because we're a Christian. We need to go spilling our beans and telling everybody. It is sufficient to go before God, repent, and it's done with and move on. But someone who learns about that and tells someone else, God says they revealed a secret that should not have been revealed. But God says he who doesn't do that, he calls them a faithful person. You understand? They're concealing a bad thing. And God says, well done. He who is of a faithful spirit, what does he do? He conceals a matter. All right, the next one. Did I put that in that list? No. Yeah, I did. In that list of other terms for gossip, God calls it a perverse mouth or a perverse person. A perverse person stirs up conflict. Again, you see division. That's what gossip's all about. It's to bring division. A perverse person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates. There's a division again. Gossip separates close friends. Next. A gossip betrays confidence. And here's what God says about people. When you find out, when you learn certain people or they just have a tendency to gossip, God says, avoid them. Talking about even your brother and your sister, avoid them until they learn, until they grow up, mature. You know, what they're doing is they're making themselves available to Satan. And they're sowing seeds of poison. And guess who's receiving those seeds? You become the trash can that receives the seeds. And don't be deceived. When seeds go into your heart, they grow. They grow up. You need to guard your heart with all diligence. It tells us in Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. So it's a garden. You can't have a bunch of weeds going on in there. Think about this. When someone talks to you about somebody else, right? Someone just says something to you about David at church. I don't even know any David's, all right, so I'm just picking a name. They say something to you about David. Has your attitude towards David been altered? Even though David didn't do anything to you, you don't know really anything about David. You can't help it. You have another feeling about David from now on. They sowed that seed of poison into your heart. And how many of you know that 99.9% of the time, the gossip is not accurate? It's going through that person's filter, getting distorted, and then they give you this distorted seed. Where did I leave off? Where am I? 2019. Okay, next one. Go ahead, Louis. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, or you think you're spiritual, you're mature, walking with God, and you do not bridle your tongue, you deceive your own heart, first of all, and your spirituality is useless. I mean, this is powerful language from God. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Next one. A fool's lips enter into contention. Again, division. That's what it's all about. Satan has created in the minds of the people in the world, he makes them all X's. Right? They're walking around as X's. They X out everybody else. You know, Joshua mentioned, I think it was last week, that he overheard some conversations, and it was just amazing how much gossip was going on. It's really incredible. I called him up later and told him this. I said, that is amazing. I had the exact same experience this week. I was in a grocery store, and I was in one section of the store, and there were some employees there, and I overheard their conversation. And they were totally laying to waste another employee. Then I went to the other side of the store, and I heard a group of three other employees talking, again, laying another employee to waste. I mean, just like, this guy, he stood no chance. I felt so bad for the guy. Next time he walked in, I thought, oh my gosh, he has no idea how many daggers he has stuck in his back from that conversation. And you know, this is regular. If you overhear, and yes, I'm encouraging you to secretly listen to the private conversations of others. And listen to how much gossip. It's the majority of the conversation. People are talking about other people because they are operating under the sway of the enemy. You know, I even quoted that verse in the prayer. It's Romans 12:2, and it says, "Be not conformed to this world." And that's what this is all about. Why am I teaching on this? So that we would not... I'm doing what this scripture tells us to do. Be not conformed to this world. This is how the world acts. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Changed. Transformed. We're not supposed to be like the world. Conformed is to be shaped and molded by something, right? We are not to be shaped and molded by how... Well, this is what everyone does. I mean, come on, Brad. Everybody talks about everybody. The Word of God tells us, don't be conformed by the way the world acts. Look at who their teacher is. Their father is the father of lies. He's called the accuser of the brethren, that serpent of old, the devil. Is that really who you want to be conformed after? Because that's what the world's conformed after. So if you're conforming after them, you're conforming after him. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing in here this morning. We're looking at the scriptures going, wow, are you serious? That's what God says about gossip. We're renewing our mind to think correctly. We're hearing from the King of Kings about how life is supposed to be, how we're supposed to treat our neighbor, how we are to put a guard on our tongue. So it says here, if we're not doing that, our religion is useless. And then a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The next scripture is pretty long. I'm going to skip that. And let's go to 14. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, I will destroy. Does that give you the feeling how serious God takes it? Now, I want you to be comforted by the fact that you don't have to worry about God destroying you because of what Jesus did. He took all judgment. However, there are enough scriptures to make it very clear, you don't have to worry about God destroying you because you're going to do it to yourself. The Bible clearly says when you gossip, you destroy, you bring destruction on yourself. There's one spiritual law that already does this without even those scriptures telling us, and it simply says this: be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you sow, what I sow, that, exactly what you're sowing, that is what you will reap. It's a spiritual law. God spoke it into the universe, and it's now it's a self-served system. It's like, you know, it's there. I mean, God's not doing it. He didn't have to do anything. He already did it when he spoke that law into the universe. So when we sow seeds against someone, remember this. This alone should be enough encouragement for us not to do it. Every time you speak against somebody else, know for an absolute certainty, without any question, it's a spiritual law, cannot be violated. When we speak against somebody else, take it to the bank. You just, whatever damage you created will come back on you. That, to that exact degree, it will come back on you. That's why the Bible teaches when you go around gossiping, you are destroying your own life because it will come back to you. And you will find all kinds of people talking against you, working against you, and you won't even understand why. You sowed the seeds. I sowed the seeds for it. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So when we sow seeds, in fact, I'm going to give you a scripture. You can see God calls it sowing. When we sow seeds of gossip, we will reap it. When you hold your tongue, everything in you wants to say something about this person. You know, I did it just a couple days ago playing basketball. And, you know, playing basketball, and this guy, I mean, I've been there for 10 minutes. He doesn't know me from Adam. And the first four shots made by the team, I made three of them and made them all. And someone else made one. So I've made three of our last 4 points. So I'm rocking and rolling. This guy has no reason to not have confidence in me. He will not pass me the ball to save his life. He's like, he sees me every time he stops and he passes someone out. And it was ridiculous. I wanted to say, you know, did I pee on your shoes or what, man? I mean, what's the problem here? Why won't you throw me the ball? But everyone else will, you know. And it went on for about, we went to like our second or third game. It was so ridiculous. I'm like, why won't this guy pass me the ball? It was crazy. And, man, everything in me wanted to lay him to waste, like walk up to him and say something to him. And, you know, I'm normally much more controlled in sports. I'm not one of those that loses it in sports, but I was starting to lose it. I don't know why. It was just something about the way he was doing it. It was like it was so obvious. I was really getting ticked off. And a good friend of mine invited me to this game. So I decided instead to go over him, and I kept saying to myself, Brad, this is gossip. Shut your mouth. But man, I just found myself like, I've got to say something to him. And I just walked up to him and I said, this guy will not pass me the ball. And he goes, he won't pass to anybody. I said, well, I see him pastoring other people. I'm telling you, he won't pastor. You know, he said, he'll only do it in desperation. Well, then we stopped. I said, listen, I'm gossiping. I need to stop right now. And, you know, I guess my point is that even, you know, I know better. I know what the Word of God says. But I also, what helped me stop was I thought, everything I'm saying right now is going to come back on me. And that's kind of a selfish reason to stop, but it's sufficient. I mean, it's good to have that, you know. Just keep that in your pocket, in your arsenal. But there I was, and I had to repent. And I said it right in front of the guy. I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm gossiping about this guy. And this guy's a brother, too. And he knows, all of us were. We're all Christians, you know. And so anyhow, I'm real sure why I brought that up. But I want to read this scripture to you. This one's powerful. And I've used this a lot to help me to not do this. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. I mean, this is going to be the last scripture, basically, I think, that I bring on this, because I want to move on beyond this. I just want you to see from the Word of God how serious this is to God. In Proverbs 6, 16, he says this, there are six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven that are an abomination to him. How many of you know it doesn't get any stronger than that? These are the seven things that God says are an abomination. Now, I want you to notice gossip is kind of in about four of these, even though it doesn't say it straight out, but things like a proud look, a lying tongue, that would be a form of gossiping, even though you may say, well, it's the truth. So if it's not a lie, you think, well, it's okay to say it. That's not true at all. But here, many times, most of the time, gossip is a lie, by the way. Just so you know. Next one is hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. Do you see gossip in a lot of this? A false witness who speaks lies. And then the last one, and one who sows discord amongst brethren. That's really the heart of what gossip is. Gossip is sowing discord. You know what discord is? Joshua brought up an example in one of the teachings. I loved it. It was really powerful, where it showed the symphony or orchestra, and they were playing, and the one clip showed them all playing their own thing, doing their own thing, and it was chaos, right? And music, that's called, it's playing discord, right? It's the music is at a discord or dissonant music. And when music is together, it's harmonious. There's harmony, and it's beautiful. And this speaks very much to this generation, by the way. Another side note. I forget, when am I supposed to stop? Okay. You know, that discord comes as a result of everyone doing their own thing. And that's what this is talking about here, is discord brings division. And in this generation, this is a huge thing. I'm trying to stop myself. Okay, I'm not going to go there, but it is going to be a whole teaching that we are going to bring. And just talking about just the independent spirit that is really strong in our generation. And we've bought into a lie from hell that is strength, it's right, you stand up, you do your own thing, you don't let anybody else tell you what to do. It's a lie from hell. God says we are to work together in harmony, in unity. So, and that's, you know, the orchestra is a beautiful example of that, because look at everyone doing their own thing. Is it beautiful? It's ugly. It's terrible. And yet, when they conform to one another in a beautiful way, and they play together, and they're in agreement of how to play, it brings beauty out. And that's what God wants all of us to do, be walking in unity. And this is what we're after here in this teaching, is for us to be a safe place, a body that works. You know, like you see those huge flocks of birds in the sky and how they move, and you're like, how do they do that? They all know exactly when to turn. Is that a beautiful thing or is it ugly? Even though they're in unison, they're in unity, is it beautiful or is it ugly? It's gorgeous. They're working together. And that's what we want to do here. We want to work together and not let the enemy come in against us. This needs to be a place that, you know, of all places in the world, out there you're going to have people talking about you, but you know at your church, when you go there, nobody talks about me. Nobody gossips about me there. And I will not gossip about anybody. You know, that's what we want. We want a place that's safe. That when Satan tries to come in, we say, not here, buddy. Go somewhere else. And he works on you hard to want, to be, you know, to talk about that other person. You got to say, no, not doing it. So here, God talks about that one of the abominations that God says, it's an abomination to him, is those who sow discord amongst brethren. You put an X on your brother or on your sister. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. And I put gossip right up against each one, just so you can kind of look at each one right up against, kind of contrast it to the fruit of the Spirit. Look at this, love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And look at gossip. How does gossip sit alongside love? You know what I mean? I just want you to kind of see them side by side against every fruit of the Spirit, so you can get a feeling of where gossip is coming from. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at gossip. Joy. How's gossip work with joy? Peace. Does gossip bring peace? Long-suffering. Is gossip long-suffering? Kindness. Is it kind? Goodness. How's gossip work with goodness? Faithfulness. Is it faithful? Are you being faithful to that brother and that sister when you gossip about them? Gentle. How often do you know gossip to be gentle? Self-control. How much self-control do you see in gossip? Isn't that powerful? When you see it up against the fruits of the Spirit, it gives you a real good understanding of where gossip is. It's from hell. It is straight from hell. And it should never be in our mouths. Above all things, the next scripture says, and above all things, at least the next scripture I have here, above all things, have fervent love. This is the other side of it. Have fervent love for one another. For love, what does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. That's what love does. You know something your sister did. You know something your brother did that's not good. You know what love does? It covers them. You know about something that brother so-and-so did, and you find out, and you're like, wow, you might be a little bit shocked, and someone else walks up, and you go, hey, how you doing? And then they want to say something about, oh, no, oh, he's precious. No, he's a good brother. You know what I mean? That's what love does. Love covers them, protects them. And you take that information that you found out, you may have found out, you know, either they told you or you found out inadvertently, you take it to your grave. You say, you know what, that's between them and God. I will have nothing to do with that. Those words, I will not repeat that matter. I will conceal that. I want to be considered faithful with that information in the eyes of my Father. Love covers a multitude of sin. Look at the next scripture. He who covers a transgression, says the same thing, but just a little bit different. He who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. You know, when Noah, his father got drunk, right? And then didn't one of the sons, the first son, yeah, Ham, he was kind of jacked up. I can't remember exactly what he did. He didn't uncover his father. His father was already uncovered, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. He went to and he told his brothers that his, you know, hey, man, dad's drunk, man, you know, and he's naked or whatever. And his other two brothers took a cloth, put it on both of their shoulders, and walked backwards so as not to even see their father's nakedness and covered them up. And God praised him and cursed Ham for what he did. That's a beautiful example. That's what love does. Love doesn't jump in there and say, oh, yeah, he's drunk. You know, love covers them, covers the sin. That's great, Joshua. Good point. Good example. Look at this, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next one. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Remember I talked about that? When we sow seeds, we bring trouble in ourselves. Here is one of the scriptures that tells us that. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Next one, he who guards his mouth preserves his own life. We preserve our own life when we keep our lip zipped. Basically, in a picture form, love and gossip are opposing forces. Love is going one way, gossip is going the other. Just plain as day. Love is of God, gossip is of Satan. It's demonic. The kingdom of God, in a picture form, kind of looks this way. You have those that are inside the kingdom, and we're rounded out by the blood of Christ. We're so supposed to be soft and precious and easy to be around. And those outside the world are exes. They're the ones creating division. And this is how the picture is supposed to be. And this is what the scriptures are encouraging us to be. But the reality is, the next slide, Satan is working on those inside the kingdom and trying to convert them to being like those on the outside, so that we will bring division within the body of Christ. And I was being very gracious by only converting 5 or 6 of them. Unfortunately, the reality is there's a whole lot more that are allowing themselves to be used and converted by Satan to be regular gossipers, slanderers, backbiters. Oh, yeah, that's another word I could have put up there the Bible uses, backbiting. So this is not, we don't want to be one of those who become Satan's captives. Now, that, in fact, that's a good scripture to segue into the scriptures I want to show you. Look at in your Bibles. I want you to see this. I intentionally didn't put this up here. I want you to see this in your own Bible. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is, go to the Gospels, hang a right, and then you'll see Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, yeah, Colossians. And then right around there, you'll find Timothy. Thessalonians, I think it is. Yeah, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then Timothy. So just to kind of help you find it. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want you to see something. And we're going to wrap it up with these couple scriptures here, where I'm going to show you from the Word of God, clear as day, it is satanic, to help encourage you and me not to do it.
It's going to
point out women in this, and I just want you to know that ahead of time, ladies, going into this. I didn't write it, so you know, I believe that there is definitely, I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that actually, when it talks about gossip, it talks about women. It doesn't even bring up the men in it. And you know, I'm not a woman, so I can't relate 100%. But it does seem to be that there is definitely more of a tendency for women to do it. But I believe it's because they're far more emotionally based than men are. And so you just feel the need more. Like, I got to tell somebody this. I got to speak about, you know, especially like boyfriend type stuff, you know. You got to do tell your girlfriends about what your boyfriend just did. So it's just probably going to require that much more discipline on your part. But it takes, you know, men, we do it too. I just told you I just did it in that basketball game. I mean, I still feel bad about that. It's just, I know better. But anyhow, moving on. Chapter 5 and starting at verse, for the sake of time, I'm just going to cut into it. He's talking about widows and their position in the church and all that. And then he talks about the younger widows, starting in verse 11. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. You can pick this up in James chapter 3 when James talks about how with our mouth we bless God and with the same mouth we curse the men and women made in the similitude of God. And he says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. And here it says that they gossip and are busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity, look, to what? To their flesh? No, it says give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Look at that. It's a very powerful key verse. It shows you what's going on. The Word of God, God is saying to us, don't give opportunity to Satan. What's it mean to speak reproachfully? Don't give opportunity to him by letting him use your mouth to speak reproachfully or to slander another person. It says Satan is the one doing that through you. Romans 6, verse 13, I believe it is, says that we are to give ourselves as instruments unto God. Let your members be instruments of righteousness unto God and not instruments of sin. We become an instrument in the hands of God or the hands of the devil, depending on who we're yielding to. And here it talks about when you gossip, you are giving Satan opportunity to speak reproachfully. And look at this. For some have already turned aside after Satan. It means they've been converted. Some have already done it where they just get into this on a regular basis. It says they have taken sides up with God's enemy. How? Gossiping. That's what he's talking about. Straight up gossip. He says, when you do that, you have taken sides with Satan. Go to 2 Timothy, just one more book to the right, and look at chapter 2 and verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So you can see the context here, what he's talking about. Getting into arguments or difficult conversations with people. And he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. What's someone in opposition? They're speaking against you or against somebody else. They don't even have to be against you. They're speaking against somebody else. Here it says that in humility, we should correct that person and say, don't do that. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. Now, you may say, well, am I not allowed to have, like, you know, speak, you know, say something like I don't really agree with that teaching or something like that. Well, we certainly can, you know, have a disagreement about a teaching. It's how we handle it that matters. This isn't talking about someone handling it correctly. This is talking about someone who's in sin. They're in opposition, and it says that we are to correct them, those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. You get the gist of it? This is sinful, the way they're doing it. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. So this is someone speaking against somebody else in a way that's not of God. And it says, so that they will come to the truth. We are to correct them so that they will come to the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. And look at this last part. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see that plain as day. God is saying it is Satan taking them captive to do his will. They're doing his bidding. When they open their mouth and they're speaking against someone else, when we do that, we literally have been taken captive of Satan to do his will. That's why, if you can put that last rendering up where I showed the picture of the kingdom of God and then Satan's captives. That's why I'm saying that people inside the kingdom of God, when Satan converts them to become divisive and speaking against other people, they are literally Satan's captives. And that's what we become when we allow Satan to use us. So how many of us would say we want to commit to the idea of never allowing our tongue to be used of the devil ever again, henceforth and forevermore, speaking against somebody else? I just want us to see from the Word of God how serious this is in the eyes of God. Now, my last teaching is going to be the next one, and that is going to be, we're going to talk about what do you do? How do you handle when you feel like, but sometimes I just feel like I've got to talk to someone about the situation going on in my life. I mean, I've got a serious situation, and it's not good. It does involve somebody else. What do you do in that situation? There are godly ways to handle it, and there are ungodly ways to handle it. And we're going to talk about that so that we have a way of taking care of those situations properly and godly. Amen? Amen. Father God, thank you so much for your word and for this this instruction from your word, Lord, that we would be servants and instruments of you and never again to be used of the enemy. Father, we pray for your sealing of this word in our hearts, Lord, that the enemy would not come in as a thief and try and steal this word, as we know he will try, but Father, that by your Spirit it is sealed permanently in our hearts. Lord, we bless you. We want to bless not only you with our mouth, but our brothers and our sisters at all times. We want blessing only to flow from our lips, Father, the rest of the days of our lives, Father. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to do just that. For it is not just by our willpower, Father, but it's by your Spirit we will be successful in this. We say no to the enemy, Father. No to giving in to gossip anymore, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just worship you. We lift you up. We thank you that we have the Spirit of God in us. We are not alone. And we are victorious in you because of what Jesus did. We can walk this out. You know, I just want to encourage everyone here. It is not really difficult. At times it'll get very difficult, but as a whole, it's just a quality decision we need to make. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to speak against anybody else. We just make that quality decision. And when we fall, when we slip, we don't get all into condemnation. We just pick ourselves back up and we just say, I'm moving on. And if we make a mistake, go to that person maybe. Ask forgiveness. Get it cleaned up and move on. But it's really not difficult. It's just a quality decision that we need to make. Amen? Let's praise Him.
The Father, just as I was sitting there, I feel like He wants to pour out prophetic gifts specifically on some women today. Real specifically, I felt like He wants to pour it out on all men, all women, but I feel like there's some specific women who have a prophetic call in your life, and the Lord wants to really pour His Spirit out on you right now. And so if you go back to the core of heaven, just that kind of part of the song, and if you feel at all maybe even previously you've sensed a prophetic call in your life, or maybe you haven't, but right now Father asks that you'd begin to confirm that you have a call on some specific women in this place, of a prophetic ministry. You begin to fall upon those women, you begin to move upon those women right now. And if it's you, if I see a couple of you, it seems like the Lord's moving on. If you sense that, if you sense, specifically those of you women, you sense something on your life as it relates to the prophetic, would you just raise your hand right now? And so right now, we're just going to ask, Father, and just expect the Spirit to fall on you right now. And you guys begin to plan behind me. Father, let your Spirit just begin to fall right now. Let your Spirit just begin to fall upon these women, the callings that's on their lives, the prophetic calling, the prophetic anointing that's upon them, Lord. When heaven speaks, Lord, you want to speak to these women in a mighty and powerful way. And so, Father, let that prophetic anointing right now just begin to fall. Let it begin to fall upon these women right now. Those of you who are, you know, who've been trained to pray, who can't pray, if you feel led, go put your hands on some of these women. Bless, Father, we just say yes to these women being raised up and speaking the words of God. Just continue to receive as we go back into that chorus. Encourage those of you who just want specific, very specific personal ministry. You just think there's a specific area you want to have someone just pray with you on. I just want to encourage you just to come on up. We're gonna close here, but I want to just make a call first. So if you've been trained to pray, would you come up and just stand up here so people can come up to an actual person? So if you've been trained to pray, come up and stand with me. And if you would like someone to pray with you on a specific thing around a specific area, would you come on up and just stand in front of one of these folks? Thank you, Lord. And welcome to continue. We'll continue to worship, and you're welcome to hang out as long as you want to hang out, linger. But it's been a good word today. God is, he's doing a good work in our hearts and in this body. It's a good thing. Let me just pray closing blessing. You put out your hands. Father, thank you so much for your sons and your daughters in this place. Thank you for the callings and the giftings that are represented here. And Father, I pray specifically for those in this place who have been personally hurt through gossip, through slander, that you, Lord, would be healing those places. People that have personally been wounded and afflicted, that God, you'd be healing those places. And Father, for those of us who have been the afflictor and the wounder, Lord, that we would receive your forgiveness, that we would receive your cleansing and your washing, and that this really would be a new day of moving forward and saying, no more. So Father, we ask that there be a grace upon us to bridle our tongues and to speak blessings, not cursings. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. God is good. And have a great week. Come up. If you want prayer, come on up.